Brethren, as we were thinking about what to discuss with you this afternoon, our minds have been dwelling upon several factors. The conditions in the world, the growing human family and what they're going through, and also in my personal life and our own family, we've lost 5 extended family members in the last 9 months. 4 consecrated, 1 not. We had a dear sister in our class leave us a few weeks ago. And so we're left often just with these precious memories of things past, of times together, of blessed times as we're sitting here today at the feet of Jesus. And when I saw this, the theme text, and I pondered on that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness from Matthew 6:33, I had my subject. You want to think on those precious promises of God, and I'm going to use as my theme text, Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Now, brethren, here we are about 3/4 of the way through 2010. It's hard to believe. Remember, we came to 2000, we thought all these things are going to happen, and now it's 10 years later. It's amazing. But as we approach the end of another year, we find ourselves still strong in the faith, still believing in God, still trusting in Him. But as we think about these things, what memories do you have of the past year? What types of memories do you have with us? And again, the special one about seeking you first, all those things should fall in line with that. Our memories should be developed about that and around that and through it and intertwined with it. So what special events have taken place in your life so far this year? Perhaps you thought back on changes that have occurred in your life. With mine, changes in our family arrangement, we become grandparents, whole new situation. Our health, conditions of the world, as we said, evidence of the prophecies being fulfilled, special times that you had studies and fellowship, a discourse that especially touched your life, that you heard and you gleaned gems of truth from it to apply to your own life. It touched your heart and mind. Perhaps you had an opportunity to witness to others this glorious plan of God and the blessings which flow to all the families of the earth. Maybe it's a convention you attended or your meetings, a special word that someone gave as a comment and a testimony, something that touched your heart again, as we said, that you shared together as a family with those in this body of Christ of this like precious faith. And there are the joys and there are the sorrows. And realize that our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, He tempers those experiences that they would not be beyond what we could bear. But He provides us those opportunities. Perhaps there are times when we're in special need of prayer. And I know we have all been in that circumstance. Or there was an opportunity for us to offer a special prayer on behalf of our brother and their difficult experiences. Give that, as it's termed, that cup of cold water to those in need. Mark 9:41. And again, one of the comments of the pastor, through all those experiences that we have, the joys, the sorrows, there shines that loving face of the Father. He puts His tender arms about us and He gives us hope and encouragement. He provides us with all the opportunities that we need to be shaped and polished and chiseled in the likeness of the dear Son. So as we go on with the next few months of this year, we should end the year, end each day, and begin each morning just the way we started in the past. We should have a verse in our hearts and minds. It comes from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. Psalm 116:12-14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all His people. So again, these words are familiar to us because we've made them our life. It's how we begin each day. We begin each day with thinking, what are the possibilities of my service today? How can I shape myself? How can I be submissive to the Father's will for me and make that will my own? How can I sacrifice my time, my talent, my all? How can I reaffirm my heart's desire to serve Him come what may? Again, to sacrifice, that I can suffer with those of right precious faith in fellowship with the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So we want to make the rest of this time that we have, again, it's short. When I was telling you earlier, four of the ones who died were my age. You start thinking that, you know, when you're in your teens and 20s and 30s, and then when your own age group is going quickly, it's a reality that I want to do the best I can to strive, to improve myself, to put into practice the things that I heard, as Brother Byron was saying, to remember the words that were spoken, but then not only that, it's the application of them. And the seriousness of making each day as living unto the Lord. So let's go on and each day make each one of the largest successes of self-sacrifice, the largest success of progress in this narrow way. And put down those weaknesses of the flesh, the petty things that we argue and discuss that are meaningless. And resist that adversary steadfast unto the end. And let us do all we can to glorify God and bless His people. So, brethren, do we daily have that 116th Psalm committed to our hearts and minds? Have these words become part of our character? Has the theme text from our convention become part of our character? We're seeking our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We approach Him at the throne of heavenly grace for guidance and help. And again, may I approach you, Father, this is our prayer through your Son, my Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, that I remember at the throne of heavenly grace those dear yoke fellows that we have one with another, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Again, Colossians 3:13-15, and let that peace of God rule in your heart, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Daily thankful, daily mindful of the experiences of our brethren. So let's go on and talk a little bit more about these precious memories, our memories. As I grow older, I realize the importance of a good memory. It's a prized possession. And we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to recall to mind the facts previously learned, past experiences, to retain, to retrieve from the mind past thoughts, images, ideas. Heard a talk recently about our sense of smell. When you go into a place, there's a certain smell you may smell, and all of a sudden your mind's taken back to maybe your childhood or to experience you had growing up. You do it in remembrance, in recollection. Several educators and past educators in this room, we realize that in the educational setting and really in all matters of life, the recalling of information, repetition, information, practice, study, rehearsal of important facts and the concepts, that leads to the learning. And everything that you've heard, seen, and done in your life is part of you. It's what you are today. If you're a child of God, it's what you will be when you have that glorious body, not prone to imperfection, but to glory, honor, and immortality. Are we thankful that the Heavenly Father created us and gave man this opportunity to remember, to recollect? And He created it in Adam, who had the perfect capacity to remember. But then to forget and be forgetful was part of that Adamic curse. And that's why we have to constantly go back to the source, to our Lord, to the scriptures, to the writings of the pastor that gives us extra insight into this word. Not only to hear His instruction, also to be receptive of it and His teachings. And we have that scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And we have here implied not only the study of it, but how careful we have to be that we are living up to our vows of consecration, that we are applying these things, and that we really are making progress along the lines that would be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. We're being urged to study, urged to develop our hearts, urged to seek Him, that you may know your strengths and know your weaknesses. We should be so acquainted with them that we're striving each day to put down those weaknesses of the flesh, things that take us away from our leading a life of pleasing to God, our sacrifice on the altar. Again, as we've said, not only a student, but also a doer of His will. It's through our Father's grace, once again, that we have this opportunity to know Him, to know His plans and purposes. And how precious then are our memories. We have been encouraged, admonished, told to vow to remember to do the will of God daily in our lives because we owe our all to Him. We're in nothing. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He set our feet upon that solid rock of Christ and the apostles. And to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Also, there are other words we have to remember that come into play. From 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Ye are not your own. You are bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in heaven. Glorify your God in heaven. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, again, go on in this life. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:14-18. Again, as we advance as Christians, we should call to mind the joys and sorrows that we've had, the experiences that we've had, that we can become stronger in the Lord. That's our goal, to become stronger in the faith, stronger in trusting in God. And the power of His might. And we do that through communion with our Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit. You know, Apostle Paul gave us so many good examples. I've mentioned several already in my comments. You know, he was really energized by his experiences. The message of God's Word, which spoke to him peace. And this relationship that he had through Jesus Christ, his Lord and our Lord. We have found some favors in God, the promises in God, the same inspiring hopes that He had are our hopes. We trust in God that He'll bless us and keep us. And that He's given us a full assurance of the glories that lie beyond this veil when the trials and testings and experiences are over. Again, that proportionate to the trials faithfully endured. Again, there's that loving face of the Father. As we progress, He's pleased. When we go to Him in the throne of heavenly grace, He's pleased. When we realize our imperfections, He's pleased because we're casting our care upon Him who loved us first. and we fight that good fight of faith. We realize that those in the school of Christ can really appreciate the special manifestation of the Holy Spirit that guide and direct you to know the Father and His ways, to resist the adversary steadfast to the end. And as we do that, thanks be to God, He's preserved us today. When we got up yesterday, He's preserved us the next day and through this year so far. And each day He permits us until that work in us is done. And He says it is good. And you can enter into those joys of your Lord. He's kept us from falling. He wants us to continue to serve Him with our whole heart. Resist steadfast under the faith, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:9. If we do, then we trust in this body of Christ with each other. We trust each other. We have fellowship. We have this bond. Some of us haven't seen each other for many months or years. But that bond is there always. It's always there. It's this spiritual house of Israel that cannot be shaken, cannot be moved. Again, it's firmly rooted upon that rock, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And again, it reminds me of this scripture. He also, as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. So separate from the world. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. Because you were bought with that precious blood of Christ. And so as you progress one day, being part of that church that will be the temple of God in His future kingdom, perfect on the heavenly plane, then each member of the Holy Spirit as a new creature has to realize that God is dwelling with you. And He's promised to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Revelation 3:21. So if we have this Holy Spirit ruling in our mortal bodies, how can we have nothing else but peace there? Peace will rule it too. So when we're going through these trials and experiences, the peace of God is with us. And how do we attain that? We first of all realize that we must consider Him. We're imperfect beings. We need the strength and comfort that comes from keeping our minds focused on the Lord, Jesus Christ. And you know that scripture. Consider Him, lest you become faint and weary in your minds. He endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Hebrews 12:3. We all realize that our mind is our special battleground. We do have that scripture, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But if you really think closely, there is one thing, it's self and selfishness. An interest of self that's displeasing to God. But we want to walk in the Son's footsteps, considering our Lord, considering His sacrifice, to take note of, to have in mind, reflect upon, to remember. We consider the meekness, the patience, the suffering of Christ. And He endured so much unjustly. How much more should we be full of faith and peace and love and patient endurance? If we do this, we're glad. We're overjoyed that He's called us, and we can remember to, we're invited to have our trials and difficulties. Be of good cheer, He said, I have overcome the world. John 6:33. It's our desire to faithfully endure to the end as our Lord did. And to then think it a privilege to drink of that same cup, to share in those experiences as our Lord did, because we claim to be footstep followers and we must do that. Something else that energizes us and keeps us going in this life is remember God's promises. One of the most important things in our life is to lay hold on those promises and recall them to mind. You spread that the good tidings of great joy again. So what comes into your mind when I mention God's promises? Is it that they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, from Isaiah 35:10? Know the Lord, and you shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Hebrews 8:11 talks about the eyes of the blind open. We talked about this earlier, that there's this restored perfect earth. The eyes of the blind open. Not only the physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. Isaiah 35:5-6. The joys of these physical imperfections being removed, and telling us that blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They discern, they understand, and then they apply them. They become, again, part of you. Part of what you are. Part of what you will be and can be if you trust in the Heavenly Father. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning to complete every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that you may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:27-28. We've been told also, as we mentioned, that you, in your heart, it must be entirely emptied of self-will. And that's daily practice. It takes daily practice. Remembering to put the Lord first, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 4:12. Lead a life pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Progress along the narrow way. It's a life centered around love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as thyself. Romans 8:28. We have a brother in our class that calls that Formula 8:28. It's a formula for your life. The love. But ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15:12-17. And also 2 John 5. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, from Hebrews 12:2. And we have that wonderful peace of God. The Holy Spirit that's given unto us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:1-6. Again, I just want to focus on a word there. It's patience. We have, in verse 4, it's more than one word, but it's patience, experience, hope, especially experience. You're going to have the experiences that you need to prepare you for that glorious realm of heaven, to be a sympathetic high priest. You have to exercise patience, though, and it leads to getting you stronger. It increases your faith, and it increases your zeal and your gratitude. And you pour out your heart in thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. It causes you to remember God's love, His wisdom, His grace, how you are guided and directed by Him each day. Again, the pastor has a good comment along this line. We realize that the Lord's done much for us, but what have we done for the Lord? And his comment is this. We should realize that our Christian experience is not sitting down and that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts and we would do nothing. Ardent songs and prayers and Christian fellowship are not only the things that inspire it, but experience is gained by putting off the old man. It is growth in grace. God commended his love to us that while we were yet sinners, he loved us. What a loving, wonderful God. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 2:13. Those that have put on Christ, that Holy Spirit grows stronger and firmer. deeply rooted in faith, having that mind in us, following in the steps of the Lord, Philippians 2:5. It's a wonderful blessing to know these things. You that are begotten of the Holy Spirit. And then you have this, you have a justification by faith. It began in the first element of our faith. It was the first leap or step of faith that you took. You realized you were a sinner. You were in need of a redeemer. You accepted him. You opened up your heart. You gave your heart. You gave your life to the Lord. Knowing that this faith is so important, it's impossible to please God without it. We have to cultivate that faith. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And this faith will then, again, as we mentioned, lead to this rest and peace with God. Romans 5:1. Have you let the peace of God into your heart? Are you at rest? Not rest from your toils of experiences of working out your salvation with fear and trembling, a reverence for God, studying, applying, but you can rest on his plans and purposes. The faithful Father, whose word is truth. That age-old question, what is truth? It's every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's truth. We call our belief the truth. We found it. What are we seeking? We sought the truth, the Word of God, the Lamb of God. He accepted us into his sheepfold. That wonderful shepherd then guides and directs us. And you can have that rest. In the tabernacle arrangement, from the time of entering the core condition of faith, we have had this peace. And it grows onward each step of obedience and continues until we enter in that complete rest. So have you once again, I'll ask that question, let the peace of God enter into your hearts and into your mind, into your daily life, into your memory. And are you striving to keep it dwelling there? There's the application. It's a narrow way. These are hard things to accomplish. But again, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And we want to have the love of God ruling our hearts. Now, brethren, if you hear the word love, what do you think of? You think of the love of God? What immediately comes into your mind? This one word can trigger so many thoughts and emotions and memories associated with that word. God is love, 1 John 8:16. Love or charity is a fulfilling of the law. Perfect love casts out fear. Now the world is going through so many experiences. We're not fearful. We know his plans and purposes. We're thankful that our eyes of understanding are open to his message. And we trust in him that we have these precious memories that can develop as we go on in this narrow way. Once again, there's a scripture concerning a tree. There's a beginning, a root, a stem. It develops, it buds. Branches are added to it. It grows to maturity. And this is in the case of the consecrated footstep followers of God. You take things in. Your spiritual growth and development occurs. And what's the outcome? You bring forth fruit. And we want to do that. And it'll continue until you develop all the grace of the Holy Spirit. Fully ripened and developed until it reaches that mark of perfect love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to do what? Comprehend the heights and breadths and depths, lengths of his wonderful plan and of his love indeed itself. Ephesians 3:17-18. So really, love is the spirit of all who are members of the body of Christ. It's a driving principle. It's a principle thing to be studied, I think, in this end of the age especially, when there's such a lack of love and there's hatred and is killing people because of a different religion or a different place where they live and so forth. It's very important. We right now have the knowledge to go on and make our calling and election sure. But it's how we lead the life, how we approach one another. To them that believe, the promises are granted now. Galatians 3:22, this little flock, so calls he thee. Luke 12:32, and helps us to trust in him. So all things, as we realize, started out with God's love. And it spurns us to go on and say, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. Again, now is that time to do the will of God. I'll lift up my hands in thy name when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate thee upon thee in the night watches. Psalm 63:1-6. Again, it's that heart desire to show forth the same character, to demonstrate the love of God and love of the truth. It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Luke 4:4. And part of that then is to love one another. And then have these precious memories of those that have gone this way before. And to give of ourselves, give our all in service of the truth and the cause of righteousness at the expense of everything we have. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this Acts 20:35 implies our giving must be willing. It's voluntary. We're happy to do the Father's will. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all my tribulation. That's hard to do. To be exceedingly joyful in all my tribulation. 2 Corinthians 7:4. But that's pleasing to God. He grants us then the strength to go on and from his rich storehouse. For God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So when we came to this convention, we said, I really have to go to that convention. You know, or I'm tired. I don't really want to go to meeting. There are times again when that is the case, that you are so spent that you cannot get out, but you can remember those of like precious faith in prayer. You remember those who are going through difficult trials and tribulations. But again, you have to apply. You have to do. You have to make that effort until you are used and totally consumed in his service. Why? It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, that your call, your election is of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:3-4. And then this from John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. But he's not saying that you're forced to do it. But this is your reasonable service. So apply these things to your mind. That God is light. There's no darkness in him. No matter what is going on in our life, we can have that loving face of the Father, as we said. And Paul tells us, shining before us, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:3-4. As we come close to our time. All right, thank you. Our Lord's memory was always focused on what can I do for you, Father? How can I serve you? He said before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. And this serves to identify the man Christ Jesus with the previous condition as the Logos. Made flesh and he dwelt among us. John 1:14. And our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation. on the spirit plane. And he lived, and then he died, and then he rose again, the first fruits of them that slept, made alive on that spirit plane, exalted above angels, principalities, and powers. Ephesians 1:21. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive again and forevermore. Revelation 1:18. So the memory of things past, still with our Lord. No, he was daily his Father's delight. Grant me that rising back up to be on thy right hand as I had, the glory I had before the world was. And what did the Heavenly Father say? And a voice was heard from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I am well pleased. Luke 3:22. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Keep that in your memory. So many changes in this world. We were driving down a road we hadn't been on for like just a few months, and stores and things were gone. We've lived in Orlando 30 years. I was like, they're gone. You know, businesses are closed and they're torn down. But God's word will never fail you. It'll be there, and you can call upon it in times of trouble, times of joy. His mercy endureth forever. So, brethren, let us go on in our lives, realizing that we have so much to be thankful for, that we are the special instruments for his praise. Although there is none righteous, no, not one, we do all in some way come short of the divine standard. But we can still rely on his mercy, the assurance that we can be striving to have a perfect intent, that we don't want to harm or hurt or injure in any way. But he thanks us for having us put that trust in his hands. And he covers us under this robe of righteousness. In this manner, he covers our unwilling imperfections, Isaiah 61:10. The memory of the just is blessed. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So the words that you speak when you witness, when you meet with your brethren, it's that truth, the well of truth, the well of mercy and kindness, the word of God. That's Proverbs 10:7-11. Again, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, his whole being, is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Now this word stayed again has many definitions, but the most fitting in this circumstance is to remain through or during. It implies the ability to overcome, to take hold of those precious promises, and to go on and rise above the pastimes of an hour, to strive to fight the things that distract us. A lot of distractions today in the world, aren't there? You could be in a very quiet place and a cell phone rings. Right? And it's supposed to be the quietest place. And someone's talking, oh, I have to take this call. We're losing that personableness, you know, the interaction. But we have that bond of love, and we will never lose that because we trust in him. So, brethren, we hope that this stirred up our minds to remember the wonderful things of the Lord, that we can do these things. And so during this convention, stir up one another's minds. Discuss topics. Bring out your viewpoint. Talk things over. Let us be honest. Edify one another, the body members of Christ. Give praise and glory to God. Remember those who are sick and afflicted, the poor of this world, Galatians 2:10. Remember those going through these experiences. Always make it a point to pray for one another and hold all the seasons and opportunities for fellowship, meeting together, talking, studying. Hold them dear, because we don't know if today might be our last day to do that. So trust in him, come what may. I will never leave you or forsake you. So let us, brethren, continue to put God first in our lives, the spirit of love and truth, and remember his providential care and overruling of all our interests for our highest welfare. I'm just going to quote a verse of a favorite hymn of mine. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.